semester. I said that jokingly, but it's a long story how I ended up here at Camp Northfield. Just a quick synopsis of that. I was a youth, while I was being a youth pastor, a friend of mine from college called me up one day just out of the blue and said, there's a camp up in Northfield. They're looking for a director. Now, have you ever had your whole life planned out ahead of you and you knew exactly what you were going to do? Well, I had that. I was going to be a youth pastor for 2 years. I already had my endorsement from Associated Gospel Churches. I was going to be a military chaplain for 30 years. And in the meantime, I was going to get my doctorate degree. And so when I turned 60 years old, I was going to be a seminary professor. That was my life. I had it all planned out. And God, this is what my life's going to be, right? No, you're going to be a camp director. And so God changed my path. And I'm enjoying it so much. It's been a joy to minister to our staff. It's been a joy to minister to our campers that come. And you're going to see that here in just a moment. But the video that you're going to see is just it's a compilation of different videos put together. Each week we had different camping weeks. We run camp from the ages of 6 years old all the way up to teenagers. And then we have a week of family camp. And so this is just a brief video of just many of the activities that we do, and you'll get to see some of the buildings, and you'll see the faces of the kids, and I'm not here to narrate it. There's going to be music playing in the background, but several other things I'll point out to you after the video is over. But camp is really my life. I live across the street from the camp. I wake up each morning, look out the window, and I see camp. I get in emails all the time about camp. I get phone calls about camp. And so we live camp. We do camp all year long. And so it is a joy. And you really got to be immersed in it. And so if you ask me, what do I think about camp? Well, I'm going to give you the answer. Well, I love it. I hope that everybody goes to camp. But we do understand that many of you have schedules. But do make time in your schedule to attend a camp, to attend conferences, wherever they may be. This next month, I'll have an opportunity to go to a conference in Iowa, and it's a camping conference for camp directors and for their families and for their staff, and it's a time when we just get refreshed ourselves, because if you're in ministry, you need that as well. You need conferences, and so we need it as well. So pray for us. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your church leaders. Your school leaders as well, that ministry you have right out in these halls, and you get to minister to kids yourself. And so take every opportunity you can to take a part of those ministries. But at this time, let's play the video, and you'll just get to see some of the activities that we do at Camp Northfield. Thank you. that was our theme verse this year, 2 Timothy 4:7, and each of the weeks, many of the speakers touched on that verse and had their messages geared around that. And I think with that verse, we're not going to be there. We're going to actually be in Hebrews chapter 4 this tonight. But think about 2 Timothy chapter 4 for just a minute. And that's right at the end of Timothy's life. And he, the last words that he was able to say to Timothy was, fight that good fight. Keep the faith. And we just had a wonderful season. You saw how many campers we were able to minister to. 165 campers came through the gates of camp, and 33 of those campers made decisions for the Lord. And we had 11 campers that trusted Christ. And like I was saying this morning, we had one staff member that received Christ as his personal Savior. And so what a great week of, what a great summer of camp. And so you were able to see many of the buildings that we have. You were able to see the fields with all the activities and the kids. And so if you haven't experienced camp for yourself, we have many different activities, not just for children, but we're getting to the point where we open up our camp for a rental. So if your church is ever interested in renting the camp and hosting your own retreat, whether it's a men's retreat, ladies' retreat, or just like a Sunday school picnic where you invite the whole camp or the whole church out and you come out to camp. And so we have that season. We have a rental coming up here in just a couple weeks that we're gearing up for. And one of the last events that we're going to host in 2017 is our Christmas banquet. And we're really excited about that. We get to decorate the campus with Christmas lights, and we get to host a banquet-style meal. We just have a great time. It's a one-night event, and it's a little far, so if you were coming out from this way, it might be wise to get a hotel out in the Northfield area. And so we'll have some information about that. We don't have enough room in our winterized facility to host people, but it is a one-night event, and so it starts at 5 and ends around 8 o'clock, and if you'd like to make that travel. So that's one thing we cannot do at this time, but we can host this event, and we do have one heated facility where we can open up this banquet, and it's just a great time. And that's going to be the first weekend of December, December 1st and December 2nd. You can choose either to come Friday or you can choose to come Saturday, and that's the last event. And one of the things we get to do at that event is we get to share our vision and share our passion for the year to come. We give a recap of 2017, and then we share what God has laid on our heart for the year to come. It's just a very special time at camp. But you're there in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and we're just going to look at one verse, with the time that we have remaining. And I just want to leave you with this thought as I venture to go back to Camp Northfield. I was talking with the Lord and figuring out what would be the best way to leave you with on the great day that we had together. And it's found here in Hebrews chapter 4. And I just want to give to you an encouraging message, a quick message entitled, All You Have to Do Is Ask. All You Have to Do Is Ask. Hebrews chapter 4 and your Bibles. Hebrews 4. And let's begin reading in verse number 16. Let us, therefore, come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and to help in time of need. Again, let's read that verse again. Let us, therefore, come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I just have three simple points tonight. Point number one is come. Point number two is obtain. And point number three is to find. All you have to do is ask. The Bible says here in verse number 16, let us. Let us. What does this mean, let us? Who is the let us that it's talking about? The writer of Hebrews. What does he mean, let us? Who should come unto the Lord? All those that do not know the Lord. All those that do know the Lord. If you do not know the Lord, the first thing you need to take care of is salvation, so that way you can get to the second part where you can obtain. And if you do not know the Lord, Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, talks about Jesus speaking as you need to come to the Lord as a little child and have that childlike faith and come to know the Lord. That's the first part of coming, is accepting and believe and confessing and come unto the Lord. That's step number one before you can apply anything else from this message. Step one is to know the Lord. And by knowing the Lord, you fall into this classification. All those that are burdened. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Heavy laden means to be overburdened. Means to be loaded up. And have you ever felt that way in your life? Where, boy, you were just down. You're just burdened. You have all this weight. At camp, I get to do this thing. I call it Christian Life and Service Seminar. I stole it from a good friend of mine. He did Christian Life Seminar. Rand Hummel, he does CLS. I do CLASS, class, I call it. And so we get to do these things where we get to tell campers, and we take the time during the week just to not necessarily preach to them, but just give them life lessons. And one of the life lessons that I gave in one of the weeks of camp is called Baggage and Bitterness. And the story is simply this. I had two campers come up, and they raced down the center of the chapel. And one camper was hands down much quicker than the other, and he won by a few steps. And so the faster of the two, I brought him back up to the stage, and I gave him a backpack. But he didn't know what was inside that backpack. There was rocks in that backpack. There were some heavy weights in that backpack. And I said, "Now run." And it was a pretty close race this time, but he prevailed. He was much faster than the other one. So he came back up, and this time I gave him a suitcase. And in that suitcase was, again, some heavy materials. So I think there was books, and I didn't want to put rocks in the suitcase. But there were heavy books in it. And so he has a backpack around this arm, a suitcase in this arm. We say, "Go." And he's just running, and hands down, the slower kid was easily able to win. Well, that's what it means to be overburdened. That's what it means to be overwhelmed. You're loading yourself up with all of this baggage, all of this stuff in your mind, and we walk around and we try to run this race, but we can't because we have all this baggage in our hands. And this baggage could be anything. It could be sin. It could be things that people have said about us. And I applied it to the teenagers about bullying, people saying things, and, "Oh, here's a bad word to you," and so you put it in your backpack. Somebody says this mean thing to you, you put it in your backpack. And by you not forgiving that person, you're weighing yourself down. It's not affecting the other person, that extra suitcase that you're trying to carry around. It's affecting you. And so that's the way we apply it. But the same way you could apply it to your own life. What is burdening you down? If something's burdening you, this verse is for you. Come, let us therefore come. And what should you do with that? How should you come into the presence of God? You have this baggage with you. Now, how should you do it? It says this: come boldly. Come boldly. This word boldly, you could say it's like a camper that storms into your office and says, "I demand that we play Indian soccer." If you're not sure what Indian soccer is, ask a couple of these campers down here that came this year. Did you enjoy Indian soccer? It's a favorite game at camp, and playing with one soccer ball is not enough. They want to play with five. So we have five soccer balls, three goalies on each side. It's a game of Indian soccer. I'm not sure where it came from, but it's always been around camp. But the campers love to do it, and they will boldly tell you that they want to play this game. And so what we could do, what we can apply is this. We ought to come with all spokenness, with frankness, with bluntness, with assurance, with confidence, freely, openly, plainly. That's what this word boldly means. And here the writer of Hebrews is telling us that we need to come boldly. Where do we go? To the throne of grace. We need to make our requests known unto God. We have this baggage in our hand. We're overburdened. We're overwhelmed. And the writer is saying that we need to go boldly, go plainly, speak with bluntness, speak with confidence before the Lord and say, "Lord, this is what's on my mind. This is what's affecting me. I need help, Lord. Can you help me? And he will. Who should come to the Lord? Those that are heavy laden, those that are burdened. How should you come before the Lord? With boldness. Who are you going to? God Almighty. You're going to the Lord. Look with me in verse number 14 of the same passage. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. That's who you're going to. You're going before the Lord, and you're going before Jesus Christ, and he's making these petitions on your behalf. Let us come boldly. Let us go to the Lord with this boldness, this great high priest that we have. And what are you going to? You're going to the throne of grace that God is sitting on, and you're going with boldness. Let us, let all of us, those that are unsaved, go before the Lord and ask him to be your personal Savior. That's step one. And now that you're born-again Christian, who is to let us, those that are heavy laden, those that need that rest, found in Matthew chapter 11. When I think of this verse, it reminds me of Esther, of Queen Esther. How did she go before the king? She went with boldness, did she not? She could have been killed for that action that she did. Would you say that she went with boldness? She went with confidence. Surely my husband's not going to kill me. And she went with boldness. And this verse reminds me of her courage that she had, of her boldness that she carried with her. She went to get answers. King, my people are being destroyed. My people are being affected by this law that this evil man put up. I'm coming to you with boldness. That's what we need to do with God. We need to come boldly. Why? Why should this be done with boldness? Second point is to obtain. Secondly, to obtain. To obtain what? To obtain an answer. To obtain mercy. Mercy is God not punishing us as our sins deserve. Mercy is deliverance from judgment. If you will, turn with me quickly to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and I'll be reading verses 7 through 11. Matthew chapter 7. Why should we come with boldness so that we can obtain this answer, we can obtain this mercy? Matthew 7, verse 7 through 11. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Here's the picture Jesus is trying to say. Your son comes to you after a long day of playing hard and working hard in school, and he says, Dad, I'm starving. What is there in the refrigerator? What is there in the icebox? What is there in the freezer? Dad, I could go for a nice, juicy, toasted peanut butter and jelly sandwich, a nice piece of bread. Dad, do you have any bread? Sure, son. He goes out, rather than going to the refrigerator, he opens the back door, goes over to the driveway, picks up a big stone, comes walking back in and says, here you go, son, I know you wanted a peanut butter and jelly, but here's a stone. That's silly, right? And Jesus is saying here, how silly is this illustration that you're evil, you have sin in your hearts, but yet you still know how to give good gifts. You know how to give good things to your children. How much more, as our Heavenly Father, how much more gifts can he give? Mercy, so that we may obtain mercy, so we can get these things that God desires for us to have, but we just simply need to ask. Come, obtain. And now lastly, let's look at the last part of this verse of Hebrews chapter 4. Let us come. Why should we come? To obtain. Why? What are we going to obtain here? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Find grace. What is grace? Mercy is different than grace. Grace is this: benefit, it's favor, it's joy, it's gratitude given, it's unmerited favor. Grace is extending kindness to the unworthy, whereas mercy is God not punishing us for our sins that we deserve. And in the Old Testament, it talks of Noah and how he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God extending that kindness. Yes, Noah was one of the last righteous men on the earth, him and his three sons, but yet God extended this grace because, yes, Noah was still full of sin. Noah had that sin nature in his heart as well. He was unworthy, but God still extended that grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace, that's what we're seeking. That's what we're going boldly before the Lord and trying to obtain, that mercy and that grace. And why do we need these things? What is the significance behind mercy and behind grace? It's the last phrase of this verse, to help in time of need. This word help is an interesting word. It comes from the Greek word bathia. It means a rope or a chain for frapping a vessel. If you will turn with me to just one final passage, Acts chapter 27. This word help is only found twice. This version of the word help is only found twice in Scripture. And the other time, it's found in Acts chapter 27. Acts 27, 17. Acts 27, 17, the story is this: which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strike sail, and so were driven. So here's the picture. Go with me and look at verse number 14, the last word there. But not long after, there arose against a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught, it could not bear up the wind. We let her drive. So the story is Paul is on this vessel. He's being taken. He's in captivity. And they're about to crash. They're enduring this we could say this hurricane force winds. And they were in this nasty storm. And they used helps. It says in verse 17, they used helps. And it's that same word, a rope or a chain for frapping a vessel. And so the storm came, and they thought the vessel was going to blow apart, was going to be destroyed. And so they took these ropes or these chains and wrapped it around the ship to keep it from blowing out, to keep it from collapsing, to keep it from being destroyed in the winds. What's the significance? Why was that word used here in Hebrews chapter 4? Let's turn back there. And keeping that story in your mind, that Greek word that means help, that means frapping a vessel, a rope or a chain. And I have with me, I have a small rope, courtesy of Brother Coonrod and your tool shed out there. I forgot mine. But this here is just a simple rope. It's not much of a rope. It really can't do much other than simply it can restrict, right? And Nathan, why don't you come on up here? Come on up here. Let's see, who else can I volunteer here? Pick someone else to come with you. Come on up. So here's the picture. I'm going to use these two as an illustration of Latham Christian Academy. This represents Latham Christian Academy. And this here is prayer. This is the picture. What we're going to do with Latham Christian Academy, we hold that end. It's kind of dirty, so if you have dirt streaks on your shirt, it's not my fault. It's Brother Kuhnman's. This is what you're going to do with Latham Christian Academy. You're going to wrap Latham Christian Academy in prayer. You're going to wrap the deacons of Latham Bible Baptist Church in prayer. You're going to wrap the leaders of Latham Christian Academy in prayer. And guess what? It's not going to fall apart. If you wrap these ministries, if you wrap Camp Northfield, these two can illustrate Camp Northfield. If you wrap it in prayer, we need prayer, it's going to hold it together. again, read this verse again. It says this: let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You put your request where these two young people are and wrap it in prayer. Use that help. Use that chain or that vessel of prayer to keep it from blowing apart. Thank you so much for your help. Look, you didn't get dirty. There we go. So wrap those ministries in prayer. Thank you. You have a seat. That's what this rope signifies, is prayer. And so that's what this verse is trying to tell us, to find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly with prayer. Go before the Lord with this prayer, and he will answer it. And just like those two illustrated, they can illustrate your family. Put your family where they were. Wrap your family in prayer to hold it together. And when you stop praying for your family, that's when those chains fall off. That's when that rope of prayer falls off and things begin to fall apart. When your church no longer is being prayed for, you mentioned this morning men's prayer breakfast or men's prayer for Latham Biobaptist Church. That's what's going to hold this church together, is those faithful men coming and praying for this ministry. As you're looking around and maybe you have the same seats, and maybe you're coming into cleaning the church, and I'm going to pray for that family because I know they sit there, and I'm going through and you're cleaning up some wrappers that maybe someone left by, and I know who sits there in that church or there in that seat. I'm going to pray for them right now. That's what it means to wrap in prayer, to be continued praying for one another, to wrap each other in prayer, to help in time of need. That's what this verse is trying to illustrate to us, that we hold together through prayer. That's the binding factor that holds us together. So will you commit tonight that you're going to pray for these ministries? Will you commit tonight that you're going to pray for Latham Biobaptist Church? Will you pray for tonight that you're going to hold up the church leaders in your prayers? That you're going to hold up the school in your prayers? You have a wonderful opportunity to minister to kids from this community. Will you hold those ministries up in prayer? Will you hold ministries like Camp Northfield in prayer? Will you hold up ministries that maybe you go to a camp? Will you hold that camp up in prayer as well? We need your prayer. So will you commit tonight for that? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the avenue of prayer in which we can go to you boldly. We can seek your guidance, and we can seek your will. And thank you for that verse that tells us how to go before the Lord. And I thank you for that one word, that word helps, which illustrates to us that prayer is what holds things together. I ask God that you just be with us during this time. Bless this church, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.